Well, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank this eldership for having me personally here to preach the Word of God. I am thankful that I've been edified by the study of this already. So if nothing else comes from it, I've been edified. But I pray that's not everything that will happen. I pray that you're edified today by this study of Christ being the light. And I'm also mindful and thankful to the eldership for the very fact that this is happening, that we can preach and teach God's Word, that it can go forth, and that many can hear the message that's so simple that God has given us. So I'm thankful very much to all the members here and the eldership as well, and Brother Tom and his wife, certainly his wife. Love her so much. We had such a great time working there in the hot, sweaty place of Jamaica together, but it was really great. And I look forward to going back, and I know she will probably go back too, so I'm thankful for that. I won't mention the fact that I was also born in Oklahoma. Whoops, well, I did. I hope that won't hurt me either, but we'll see. I want you to think, since we are from Oklahoma and Texas, I do consider Texas my home. I have no doubt, brethren and friends, today that you've been on a camping trip. I have no doubt that you've been there starting to light a fire and waiting for that to get going, but first all you have is just one flame, just one ember that's finally alit and that is there. And what's interesting is when you've been in darkness for some time, even just one ember, you think about even just a lighter or some sort of a small thing in the middle of the dark seems so bright. Now, if you were to have that same light, that lighter or whatever, in the middle of the day, it would be ridiculous. You wouldn't use it. It wouldn't light anything. But in the middle of the darkness, even the smallest flame is so significant. And I ask you to consider that this afternoon. I ask you to think about the light that Jesus says He is. I am the light, He says. I always think about this map. Ever since Google Earth has come out, I love to look at it. I love to watch it. I'm fascinated by what it looks like, whether it's in the day, but especially at night. And I must admit, the first time I ever saw this right here, I was amazed about mankind and about what we were able to do and to be able to see the different cities. You can see Dallas-Fort Worth and Houston and Austin and San Antonio. You see all of the lights from man, even in the middle of the night. This, of course, taken from a satellite. But when you think about this right here and how fascinating it is to see our world, our continent, our country lit up that way, I ask you to consider what it really looks like during the daytime. I want you to think and I want you to contrast in your minds what it looks like when the sun is shining down upon the same continent and the same place. God has done that. He shows us this, does He not? He shows us, I'll get to it. He shows us this. Now, as much as I love the night, as much as I love the light there, this right here, a satellite image taken by NASA, shows us God's light. We're talking about the sun. Now, I haven't even got into the Bible yet. We're talking about the sun. And yet we look at it and think about it, and often days go and nights go, and we take it for granted. Light and dark, light and dark. I'm just fascinated by these shots, though, to think about our continent lit up that way. Now, we certainly know our government didn't light up the world that way, did they? They just took the picture. But God lights it up that way. And it really gives us a contrast. I ask that you think about that contrast. What man can do and what God does. I ask you this question. How dark is our world today? How absolutely dark is it? Oftentimes we think of ourselves as smart and advanced and the word enlightened. But really, what is the world that we're living in? Is it not a dark place? And when you think about our modern advancements of electricity and light bulbs and all the other, do we not still realize that there's one light source? Do we not still realize that God has made it that way? And this afternoon I ask and I implore you to think about the fact that God is trying to tell us something in the very fundamental fact of creation, that Jesus, as He says, is the light of the world. I am the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. Why does it say this? Why is Jesus saying something so simple? When you look in John chapter 8 and verse 12, you remember what it says there? He says this, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I find that interesting. You will have the light of life. Why was Jesus even having to say this? Do you see verse 13? What's it say? "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself." You can insert there Christ or Jesus. "Thou bearest record of thyself, Jesus. Thy record is not true." Our Lord and Savior was having to give an account, was having to give his authority to these people. He was trying to show them who he was, what he had done. And it's interesting to think that here they are telling Christ, who indeed was there at the creation. All things were created by him and for him, Colossians chapter 1 tells us. And yet they're saying, "Who are you? We don't believe you in what you're saying." He says, "I am the light. I'm the light of the world." And they would not hearken. They would not listen. I find that fascinating. In John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, as many of us are going to go to John chapter 1, you find there this beginning. And John certainly is wanting to remind us about the position Christ has and the authority that he has. In verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Jesus was having to give an account, and yet John tells us who Jesus is. When Jesus says he's the light of the world, can we believe him? Can we see verily that he is absolutely right in what he says? I think about the beginning there in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Doesn't that give such credence to the Old Testament in Psalm 119 and verse 11? "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It really is the idea of light and dark. It really is the idea of right and wrong. It's the idea of the Word that Jesus is and how wonderful it is to hold it. And as we go along in Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, we have it tied together. Jesus as the Word, the light that illuminates life. Jesus is clearly stating that light and life are eternal. The life eternal is what he is. And that darkness is really the opposite. And we're going to see that this afternoon. Darkness is death. Darkness is what the world is in. And I pray that we'll recognize that Jesus has come to give us life and life eternal. That he's come to give us his Word that we might hold fast, much like a light, that we might see clearly. I pray that we'll see that this afternoon. We recognize in the Scripture that over 253 times the Bible is mentioned with this word light. It's mentioned the word light in the Bible 253 times. That's a lot of times. That's a lot of times for God to tell us about light versus the idea even of darkness. And the contrast is found in the Scripture of darkness and light. Even in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we find on day one this darkness and this light, the contrast that's there. And I love to think about light itself. Light does not become darkness, but rather light overcomes and dispels it. This room is light because lights are lit. They're taking away, they're pushing away the darkness. And light really represents influence. And in that, as Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is truly showing us the influence that he has and what he has given himself as an example for you and I. I pray we'll see that as well this afternoon. I want you to recognize with me that as he says, "I am the light of the world," that we don't have to walk in darkness, that we, if we are not following him, we will be in darkness. But rather, we won't be in darkness. If we follow him, we'll have the light of life. Jesus wants us to have that. God wants us to know what's right. He wants us to live by that even today. And I think about the importance of this, what Jesus says. We live with it daily. We think about it as we turn a light switch on, as we go to bed, as we rise up, as we take the children, as we bring them back home. All of it is surrounded by what we live with, light and dark, light and dark. And we recognize that Jesus himself is using something so simple to teach these Pharisees, yea, ourselves as well, the importance of this light. I want you to think this afternoon that light certainly represents God himself. It represents who God is. And a matter of fact, the Bible tells us emphatically that God is light, does it not? That God is light and in him is no darkness at all, as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, tells us that he is light. How are we going to go to heaven without it? How are we going to be able to see in this life without God or with even out Christ and who he is for us? I ask you to think about that. You know, oftentimes my kids, if there's one flashlight and we're going somewhere, they all want to hold the flashlight. They all want to have it in their hand. No, me first. No, no, me. Think about that. The one that needs to hold it is the one that is out front so that everyone can follow and see. And I think about that with Christ. He has gone before us, and he truly is that light that we're able to follow, to emulate, to have in our lives. What a joy that is. We must follow him. We must see it. We recognize the importance of it. As a matter of fact, we find in the scripture in Psalm 36 and verse 9, it says, therefore, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Can anyone really see light and dark without seeing the measure of God, what he's given, what he's shown? I ask the question today, how can people truly be living in reality or seeing things in a right and perceptive way without the message God has given, without his light that doth light the way? We also find in Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2, it says there, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. I think about that. God's garment being light. Like this calls to mind, to our minds, the Mount of Transfiguration there as Jesus was there. And we recognize and think about him and his face shining as the sun, his raiment being white as light. Just imagine Christ. Who he said he was, even in John chapter 8, is who he really has been and will be and always is. It's a joy to think about that and to know that he is this very one. It brings to mind the idea of 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, speaking of Christ, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You just think about the place, the position, and certainly the light source that God is, that Christ is in God. It's a joy to think about that. You are brought to mind Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 and 20, where Moses asked that he would like to see God. He wanted to see the Shekinah glory of God. And of course, God tells him that no man could see and live. We recognize then in Exodus 34, verses 29 through 30, and also verse 35, that Moses indeed saw the hindermost part of the glory of the Lord, and even that was overwhelming. He had to cover himself because of his own shining from seeing what he saw. That's an interesting thing to think about with God. When we talk about heaven, we talk about a place that is going to be filled with the light of God. Can we even imagine that? Can we imagine his position and power and his light that he is, the source of all these things? It's an interesting thing to think about. And I ask you to think about what that really means when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm the light. Where else are we going to see this light? I also want you to think about the representation of this light to God's activity, to God's presence, to even the activity of Jesus. The very fact is, in John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all see that? There it is in John chapter 8. They say, we don't recognize you. We don't believe you. We don't believe your testimony. Who was he? The very one that created all things. What a joy to think about that. When you go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Did Christ have a part in that? Was he not there doing those things, just as we see from Colossians chapter 1, just as we see from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Where was Christ? Does it not bring home to us then the idea of John chapter 8, when they're scoffing at him saying, "We don't recognize your authority"? There it was that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." What a joy to know that very thing. We recognize also that just in Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find certainly concepts of darkness and light found there. The biblical concepts of darkness and light. Several things to think about. First of all, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness. A presence being a light source, being something that they followed in this way. Then you think about the darkness that fell at Jesus' crucifixion. The darkness, what did that symbolize? What did that mean? Even we ourselves know that when the sun goes down and the darkness comes upon the face of the world, how it feels, what it's like. And we recognize that inherently this darkness and light, this good and this evil. How many of the movies that have come out of California, how many have this concept of light and dark? This is just something that we recognize, and it's something that Jesus taught there because it was so very simple that even people can understand it to this day. This idea of good and the idea of darkness being evil. You remember there what Isaiah says in chapter 5 and verse 20? Isaiah warns about those who would call good evil or light darkness. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Brethren, do you think that's happening in our world today? Do you not see it, that people are doing the same thing, saying, "God won't mind that, God won't care about this"? And yes, yet thus saith the Lord to all of those things. What does God want? What is right? What is good? What is true? Doesn't the Bible tell us these things? In the book of Romans in chapter 13 and verse 12, it reminds us there, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Even inherently right there in Romans, we see what we're to live by light, not by darkness, but rather by the light that God has given, that Jesus in fact is, that God is as well. It's important for us to see this. In the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, we find these symbols of light and dark, good and evil, and we recognize these things for what they are. We recognize truth, we recognize light and knowledge, and we even say the word enlightenment, don't we? And the idea of understanding being lit in this way. We recognize then the importance of the fact that we follow God, and Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He's the light in this way. Then I want you to think about what it really is that Jesus is saying. If you would, turn over there to the book of John in chapter 12. I'd have you look there for just a moment. You notice what Jesus says in verse 35 of John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus says, it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." And then in verse 46, he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Brethren, recognize with me that Jesus has given himself in the way that he has, and he's spoken unto us in words, in the form of the Bible, the New Testament, that we can see and gather and understand that which Jesus died for, what he has given for us to know. That is the way we can be enlightened. We can have the knowledge of God's word. And recognizing certainly with that, again, we go to Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Brethren, how much preaching do we need today? Do we need less because it's difficult in the world? Or do we need more of the preaching and teaching? Do we need more study and knowledge and closer drawing to God? Isn't that the case? We would recognize there are some, just as our good brother before had said, who will hear the message and become bitter or be upset about it and depart. But recognize with me, that's exactly what the world needs. The world needs more light so that people can see what is good and right, not less. I pray we'll recognize and see that. We also notice again in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I know, brethren, it's hard in the church. I know it's hard to be a preacher. I know it's hard to be an elder. I know it's hard to be a member of the Lord's body and fight for what's right. But I know that our lives would be improved by studying and knowing more God's word. I bet you we'll even have less problems and trials if we will know it more and live by it and be closer to it, that will illuminate our lives, not be ignorant, not be without a lack of knowledge in this way. I pray we'll have it. And so we find that Jesus is wanting to give us that. He has come to be that light in this dark world. And do we not recognize how it is indeed represented in God's word? He's given us this message to know. I pray we'll see it. We also recognize in Ephesians chapter 5, and I ask you to be encouraged by this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, think about what Paul is saying. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." He says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Live by the light that God has given. He goes on to say this. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." You notice there how the Bible's telling us the darkness of this world, "but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light." What did I say before, just a moment ago? That light doesn't take away darkness, it just dispels it, doesn't it? It doesn't destroy it, it just moves it back so that you can see. And isn't that what the Bible is doing every time we preach it? That we're showing people and manifesting what is reality. I know you've seen these commercials on TV, those Febreze commercials where they put on the mask and they spray the whole room with Febreze and it's dirty and filthy and there's trash everywhere. And there they are. Just smells so good in here. How fresh it is. How wonderful it is. Why? Because they can't see what's really in that room. They can't see it. And so many of the people in the world today, even we ourselves sometimes, find ourselves blinded and we cannot really see what is here. What is reality? The Bible gives us what is true. The Bible shines light upon our lives and shows us. Sometimes it hurts to see what a mess we have in the corner of our life. But we need to see it. We need to know it. We need to remove it. It doesn't take away by turning off the lights. The room doesn't get clean, does it? You got to turn the light on. You got to fix it. That's what God has done for us. That's what He's shown us. That's what Jesus is, the light of the world. In this way. In verse 14, he goes on to say, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." And who's going to give you that light? Christ shall give thee light. This is the message that God has given. This is what he wants us to know, that we're to follow his Son. And everything that Jesus has said, no matter how controversial, no matter how many groups will not listen or heed what he has said, he still said it, and it's still the truth. It will set us free if we will see it and recognize it as a light unto our path in this way. As we recognize then, we know that this is a dark world we live in. We know and recognize that in reality there's one source of light, and many people are blinded, they cannot see. But we know that Jesus indeed is the one that has shown us what dark world we live in. And therefore, by doing that, we're able to share this message with others. We're able to show people what darkness is found in this world. He wants to light the path that we will see it. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, we recognize it says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun," the shining light. It says that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That's Proverbs, actually. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And I think about that. I think about how God says that there is a righteous path that is a shining sun, and then there is this way of the wicked that is truly in darkness. You ever tried to walk in darkness? Where do you get? How far can you get? Walk in the woods in darkness sometimes and see how far you can go. You don't get far. We recognize then the importance of this light in our very lives. Also, we see in the book of Romans, we see in chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, that God does not want us to be in darkness, but that if we want to be in darkness, we can be in darkness. We can live that way. We can be stubborn in our own mind, in our own ways, and we can live a lie, as the Word of God says there. But we don't have to do that. Rather, we have this way of knowledge and truth, and we have this way of light shining in our path. Also, as we said in John chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth." And then in verse 36, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Isn't that what we've got to do today? You and I as the church, you and I as brethren in the faith, need to be a beacon in this community and in every community where we are. We need to be ones that show forth the example of Christ. And I think about just how bright Christ was, as I mentioned at the beginning, how bright our world is with the light of God versus the light of man. There is no light of man. There really isn't. It's the light of God. I want you to think about what we've got to be. We've got to shine that light of God in our own lives, in our own day. We'd be remiss today. We'd be wasting our time if we didn't all take this message today and make our lives brighter, more clear, so that people could see Christ living in us. I pray that that's what will happen by our efforts this day. We also recognize that Jesus shining forth in the dark world that we live in, we realize that he has come for that purpose. Do you remember there in John chapter 1? I ask you to go back there for just a moment. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, do you remember what it says? Remember, he created all things. He was with God in the beginning. He's the Word, the same as God. And in verse 4, and it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's what it says about our Christ. That's what it says about our Savior. That's what it says, and that's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world." We recognize also in John chapter 3 and verse 19 the importance of what he was saying, and yet there were going to be those who would go against him, would not hearken, or would not listen. Why? John chapter 3 verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness. Darkness rather than light." What do they love today? What do people love to live in? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And brethren, we've got to preach that today. We can't back down from that. We can't say, "I'm sorry, so-and-so, that we've hurt your feelings by what God has said." We should say, "I am thankful that I've been able to tell you what is right, and I pray that you'll listen to it. I pray that you'll hear it." It's kind of like having automatic security lights. You have those at home? I know I do. I've got them at my house. I don't light lights, and I don't pay for the electricity bill so that people can come to my house and see clearer about stealing or robbing from me, taking away my battery out of my car, or siphoning my gas. I don't make it brighter for them to do that. I illuminate my area so that they will be gone from that. They won't want to do that. They will see the light and will not partake in their evil deeds. And I tell you today that in the church we must be bold. We must say it more. The world needs more light, not less. The world needs us to show and illuminate what is wrong so people can do what is right. I pray we'll see that. I pray we'll do that every single day that we live, showing people. And be bold, brethren, not unloving, just bold to go out and to tell people what is wrong that they might do what is right. That's what God wants, and we need that light that God has given. I'm not trying to help the criminals see better. I'm trying to keep them from doing what's wrong. Therefore, that means the less bright we are, the less illuminated we are, the more people do whatever they want. And in the church as well, the more people say, well, no one said anything to me about it. Elders, preacher, no one's done anything, so I can continue in this way. That's not what we've got to do. We've got to preach and teach the message God has given. We've got to hold up Christ and our own lives in these ways. I'll leave for you Romans chapter 10 and verse 2. As Paul talks about the Israelite nation there, they had a zeal of God, did they not? But not according to knowledge, not according to truth and right, and even you might say the light that had been given. Then I want you to think about this. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this. Remember what happens in John chapter 9? In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man with spittle and with dirt, and he puts it upon his eyes, the man who could not see, the blind man, and he is made whole. Why is that there? Why do we find that? And even after John 8, as Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and that man was so thankful that he could see with his eyes once again, those Pharisees would still not listen. They still were blind. They were blind leaders of the blind, as the Bible says. And they were ones that were going to fall into the ditch. Recognize with me how they couldn't see. Now, they sure could see with their regular eyes, but they could not see with the spiritual eyes what was most important. And if you can't see that, if you can't see that, then there's something wrong, and you really are not seeing the light of the world that Jesus is. What can we do? I pray that we'll recognize that we must let our light so shine. So many places I didn't get to go to. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 and following, thinking about there, walking in the light as He is in the light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I pray that all of these other verses will be strengthened by what we find in John chapter 8 here, that Jesus says He is indeed the light of the world. I pray we'll know that. And I think about this. In John chapter 1, as he talked about there, as it says there, that John the baptizer was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. Do you remember what Jesus says about him in John chapter 5 and verse 35? He was a burning and a shining light, Jesus says of John the baptizer, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. I just think about that. It hits me right between the eyes. That says, am I being a burning and a shining light by the light of Christ, by the light of God, to a crooked and perverse world? Am I really showing myself as an example? Because Jesus could say of John the Baptizer, he prepared my way. And John chapter 1 says that John the Baptizer was not the light. Jesus was. Am I following? Am I mirroring that light that Jesus is? Am I showing it in my life in this fashion? Can people see it in my life? I pray that's the case. And I ask you to ask that same question to yourself today. What is Jesus saying about you? What is he saying about your light? Is it bright or is it diminished? Is it small? I pray we'll recognize the glory, the joy of living a bright life for God, a bright life for Christ in heaven. That's what we desire to do, and I pray that's what we'll continue to do. And we'll be bold in doing it even when we're loving in this way. I ask you then to think about this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Have we been translated into this kingdom of light? Or are we still in the world that is dark, the dark place it is? And I ask you to think about this, and I know I'm almost out of time. The idea of twilight. You know, it comes every day. Sometimes in the morning, it almost seems like it's evening. Sometimes in the evening, it feels like it's morning. It's that twilight between the darkness and the light. Oftentimes, that's where we're living. Oftentimes, that's where we are. And we haven't made the decision, as we always sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. We haven't made that decision. We've made the decision, we're going to live at night. We're going to live in darkness. But I pray that we'll recognize there's going to be a day when we can't make that decision anymore. And I pray we'll live in the light as He is in the light. We'll walk in the light. We'll be of our Savior who is the light, who God is the light as well. I pray that's where we'll be. So I ask you this evening, this afternoon, to consider. And I ask you to think about your focus. You know, there's so much in the world that's darkness. If that's the case, then we need to compound and get back to the focus of right onto Christ Jesus, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, looking right at Him and knowing that He's the light. And if so, we're going to get light from one place. Let's be focused and centered upon that idea today. I want you to think about the one source of light for all the world. Jesus says it is Him. He is the light of the world. I thank you for your attention this afternoon, and I pray that you'll consider these things that we've made mention of.